Word of God for our sermon this morning is the first lesson for today. We read in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 to 9, Moses' account of the power of Baal. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As men moved eastward, they found the plain Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower that the men were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there, all over the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it's called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there, the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. This is God's word. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, dearly loved by God, I had my own power of Babel moment last week when the tornado sirens went off. My neighbor's parents, who are visiting from India, joined me in my basement. I see them all the time going out to the mailbox, and I wave, they wave. But here we were all together in my basement, and this is my opportunity to ask them, "How's the trip? Is everything going well?" And then they looked at me kind of funny, and then they looked at their daughter, and then she said, "Oh, George, everything is going quite well." Now this confusion of languages that I have with my neighbor's parents did not lead to really any great problems, but it can. Differences in language, confusion of language and culture can lead to misunderstanding. It can lead to animosity. It can lead to violence. The differences of languages can and have even at some times led into wars. Where was the variety of languages and cultures born? Who is its father? What are the results of that one language becoming different languages? And the people of the earth, rather than hovering together behind walls in one place, had God scattered them all over the face of the earth? Moses' account of the Tower of Babel and St. Luke's account of Pentecost in the book of Acts show us that there is a connection. Looking at that, we'll see that this is most certainly true. There is a Pentecost connection between Babel and that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. These men, trying and attempting to claim their independence from God and His will, said, "Let us make ourselves a city." God says, "No." See, first of all, that we see people who are pitiful builders or prideful builders turning away from God. judgment and mercy turned toward these sinners. On the Old Testament festival of Pentecost, 50 days after the last real Passover, God sent the Holy Spirit as He promised to His church. And in His outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the church, God gave His disciples, in the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, the ability, without study, and suddenly, to be able to speak different non-foreign languages. And peoples from around the world who were living in Jerusalem then heard them preach in their own languages. Pentecost is about preaching and hearing God's word in one's own words, in one's own language that can be understood and that can be shared. The disciples declared to these nations the wonders of God. In a very real sense, the Pentecost miracle is a reversal of the miracle that took place there on the plain of Shinar in Babylon between the Tigris and the Euphrates rivers. Most of you are familiar with the foolishness of Noah's descendants and God's intervention to stop it, as unlike their ancestor, they chose to glorify themselves and follow their own means, give glory to their own means. You see, when Noah came out of the ark, he built an altar and glorified God's name. When these people came together, they decided, we're going to glorify ourselves. We're going to glorify our name and not God's. When Noah and his sons and daughter-in-laws came out of the ark, God told them now to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth. But his descendants didn't want to do that. They wanted to stay in one place, right where they were, so that we can make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. How quickly pride can erect brick walls to serving God and serving one another. How quickly pride can rise up in the heart and push God and His will aside. I won't keep your name holy. I won't live a godly life according to it. I will worship myself. Pride seeks a way in my selfishness to not love God by not loving my neighbor. Pride leads us, as it led the people on the plain of Shinar, to calculated and deliberate rebellion against God. Pride is the lie that having plenty of material goods, having security from all my enemies, by having power and authority over others, then I will be really happy. Then I don't need God, nor God's commands. We see these prideful sinners turning away from the Lord. And in that mirror of the law, don't we see ourselves? Aren't we quick to build our own little ziggurats, our little or big ziggurats, our powers to ourselves, our powers to our own desires, our own wills, and turn away from God, and turn away from loving our neighbor? We recognize pride manifesting we see these other prideful sinners turning away from God. God's judgment came down upon them, and so did God's mercy. So, rather than abandoning them, we see God turning to these sinners in judgment and in mercy. When the people began to build, and it's interesting that when the English says, and they began to build, in Hebrew is a form that means a completed action. So in other words, when they thought they were beginning to build something, God had already determined that they were done. That the building was already finished, even as they began, because he was not going to let them do this. But as they began to build, they were of one lip. They were of one vocabulary. They spoke one language. What that language was, and it is one of the languages that still exist, we do not know. This common language, though, enabled them to work together against God. It enabled them to unite in their pride and in their willful disobedience to what God had told them. And so God decided that he would intervene, that he would thwart their attempts and stop this foolishness that these people had determined to do. The Lord's judgment took place in that division of the languages. So God, out of one language, created many languages. Some certainly no longer exist. Others have developed and turned into different dialects and other things over the years. But now they couldn't understand each other. And not only the words, but now that not understanding each other would begin to divide them, would begin to lead to misunderstanding and animosity and perhaps violence. And so God separated them. In a miracle, he spread them all over the face of the earth. So he made them do what he had commanded them to do through Noah. And here is where Pentecost and the power of evil come together. In his judgment, God divided the languages and spread the people across the face of the earth. On Pentecost, he used those different languages as a way and a means of conveying his mercy to them in Christ Jesus. And his mercy to those who give all through the promise of the Savior that had been carried on by Moses. The disciples at Pentecost spoke about the wonders of God in many different languages. We continue to do that still in 2016. God gives us a look into his nature as the Trinity, thinking ahead to next week, Trinity Sunday, when he says, come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other. The us there is an indication of God's being three in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So God went down and he intervened. And now that different language, the different languages would cause confusion. It caused animosity and violence. And today we see how those things even cause suspicion and mistrust and wars around the world. The difference in language causes division among men. What is the common language that unites all men? What is the language that removes that animosity and that misunderstanding and that violence. What one language brings peace? It is the language of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter with what lip you speak it, doesn't matter with what vocabulary or what language you use. Because the Holy Spirit uses all of those different languages to spread the good news of the cross and resurrection of Jesus Christ to all nations, all peoples, all tribes around the world. Pentecost is about sharing the gospel of Christ and hearing the gospel of Christ in your own words. It's not about some baptism of the Holy Spirit to be sure you're a Christian. It's not about the Holy Spirit giving you the ability to speak some nonsense language that nobody understands. It's not about the Holy Spirit giving you the power to touch people and heal them. It's not about the Holy Spirit outwardly coming into your life to assure you that your sins are forgiven. Pentecost is simply about the Word of God. It is about the preached Word, the proclaimed Word, and the hearing of that Word in whatever language, so that the Holy Spirit uses that Word to create faith. The Holy Spirit uses that Word to sustain us in our faith, to sustain us in our hour of need, especially in the time of our deaths. Peter preached that great sermon on Pentecost in Greek. And the other disciples preached in a variety of different languages. The Bible tells us that over 3,000 people came to faith through Peter's sermon. It doesn't tell us how many people came to faith by the Spirit through the friendship evangelism of all those other disciples who were speaking in different languages. But it is that gospel that brings harmony. It is that gospel that brings unity. You and I are united in our faith with over 20 church bodies around the world. And we are united in our Christian faith in Christ with millions of people around the world. So on the last day will come from the four corners of the earth to be gathered together when Jesus returns. God's mercy now comes to us through the vehicle that his judgment came upon the people of the earth. All the different languages, all the different cultures, all the different countries around the world were born at the Tower of Babel. We're born that day on the plain of Shinar in Babylon. How many languages do you think the Bible, into which the Bible has been translated? The statistic that I saw was about 2,200. About 2,200 different languages the Bible can translate into so that people can hear it. One of the great things about the Lutheran Reformation, one of the really significant things that Martin Luther did was translate the Bible into German so that the average person could sit down now and read his Bible and not just go to Mass on Sunday and hear Latin that he didn't understand or really comprehend what was being said. One of the things that is a challenge to our missionaries as they go out in many different foreign countries is to learn the languages. And I know many of them wish there'd be another Pentecost so that they could, without studying, and suddenly be able to understand and know those languages. Thank God we have these men and women who are willing to put in the hard work who are willing to study those languages, and who ask God's blessing to give them the Holy Spirit so that they can learn those and understand those and share it with people around the world. The festival of Pentecost is about preaching and hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ in your own words. And having the Holy Spirit bring us to faith and strengthen us in faith. Through your friendship evangelism, and through men and women like me who have been privileged to be called by you in the public ministry. This morning, thank God with me for the young men and women who graduated yesterday from our college of ministry, Mark Luther College. The young men who will be continuing their studies in the Spirit Seminary, and the young men and women who will soon go out into their classrooms, and staff ministers who will go out into their churches, and who will go out and be our voice. Thank God with me today, and pray with me today for those young men, God willing, who this coming Thursday will be assigned from the seminary into their first parishes, or their first schools, or their first foreign mission fields, where they will go out and they will speak that word of God. They will go out and will be our voice to the nations. The voice of God's judgment, but particularly the voice of God's mercy in the world's Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Savior